Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new MDX with super-handling all-wheel drive. More information is available at Acura.com.
I'm Alan Baker, the Cellar Rat. So what do you do when you're halfway through a long harvest day that started at about 5 a.m. or so, and you're sitting on 2 tons of Pinot Noir that demand your attention? Buck up, little fella. You're going to get those grapes off the stem and into fermenting bins so you can put them and yourself to bed for the night. It's Ratcast number 58. We left off in Ratcast 57 with us headed back towards San Francisco with 7 tons of Pinot Noir from the Winsel Vineyard in Mendocino's Anderson Valley. 2 of those tons were ours to make the Pinot 2.0 wine. So how does this all add up? After processing and then all the evaporation that we'll need topping wine to compensate for throughout the wine's aging process, those 2 tons of fruit will each create about 700 bottles of wine. That means it takes about 3 pounds of grapes to create each bottle of wine. That's a pile of grapes about the size of a small curled-up cat, or a medium loaf of bread. I don't know. It's hard to describe, but you can see it in Pinot 2.0 video podcast number 6 on cellarrat.org, where you can also find out more about this Pinot Noir we are making. The processing of the grapes once they leave the vineyard is pretty simple, really. You sort the fruit to make sure there's no spoilage, stems, leaves, or other mug material other than grapes, mug, or, say, raisined berries. And the sorted fruit typically then gets pulled off the stems. But some fruit, in some cases, is left on the stems, and there's machinery to do all this, so we're not really plucking grapes off one by one. We decided to leave a small percentage of our fruit on the stems as whole clusters, and we went with about 15% whole clusters in one bin. And we'll have 2 bins of grapes and juice, what's called must at that point. And the presence of stems in the fermenting juice will add structure and enhance that wonderful, luxurious, sensual Pinot Noir texture you feel in your mouth. And as the machinery got fired up, I hopped up on the sorting table to get some reaction from the Rat Pack winemaking group who were sorting the fruit, but because everything was so clean and beautiful, they really didn't have a lot to do but sample the grapes and snag the occasional grape leaf. Okay, so here we are. We're in the sorting table, and there's some like amazing fruit. What's the first thing that strikes you about this fruit?
It's very wet and very and very sticky, and very sweet.
But it's still really cold too. I mean, it's
quite
still
cold.
Like 50 degrees. It's amazing.
It feels like it was just out of the fridge.
So have you tasted any of the fruit?
Yeah, it's great. It's very sweet. It's sweeter than I thought it would be.
So are you an old hand at this, or is this your first time?
No, this is the first time I've ever like gone through a sorting table and like sorted through all the fruit like this.
What do you think of this fruit?
I think it's absolutely beautiful. It's quite nice.
Okay, so you were one of those guys that was like looking at the stems and how many whole clusters we do.
Yeah.
What are we looking at? Have you tasted these stems? What are they? What do you see?
It's just really nice. I mean, the fruit's nice clusters and very sweet, and the stems taste ripe. And I think it's going to be a great wine.
So it was coming up on the end of a very long day. We processed our 2 tons of fruit. And I was able to grab a quick word with our consulting winemaker at Crushpad, Tom Leaf, as we were putting things to bed for the night in the cold room. Okay, Tom, you were up north. You drove these grapes back from the Winsel Vineyard, actually. Talk about your initial impressions of the fruit we got out of the vineyard today.
Really nice fruit, good quality, very cleanly picked. Flavors are incredible, great depth of color. Good acidity, it's going to make a nice, naturally balanced wine.
Okay, so all the people on the sorting table were talking about how tasty it was.
Right.
So we've got the grapes in there's about a ton of fruit in here. This is half of our wine, or half of our grapes.
2 barrels worth.
2 barrels worth. So what are we going to see happen to these over the next 3 or 4 days?
Okay, the next 3 or 4 days are kind of dormant. In other words, we're in the cold room here at Crush Pad. We're doing what we call a cold soak. For 3 days, we're just going to let the fruit sit, the grapes in the juice, and we're extracting color, we're extracting fruit. There's no alcohol involved in the liquid yet. The fermentation hasn't begun, so it's just a pre-fermentation maceration.
So why do this rather than just start the fermentation and let the colors come out then? What do you get from the cold soak that you wouldn't if you just fired off the fermentation?
Because there's no alcohol in there, you're getting a total aqueous extraction. And we've found that with Pinot Noir in particular, because you're color challenged with lack of anthocyanins or the lower levels of anthocyanins compared to, say, a Cabernet Sauvignon, you're trying to maximize the color. And the cold soak has been found to be the best way to do that.
So an anthocyanin is some magical compound that's in the skin, not in the juice.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're trying to get as much as we can out of the skin and into the juice, which will then become wine.
Okay. So the juice right now is just slightly pink. Over the next few days, how dark will it get? Will it get darker than the resulting wine, or will it be the color of the resulting wine?
It'll probably actually appear a little bit darker than the wine, and it should actually already it's starting to pick up some good color.
So the grapes were chilling, and now it was our turn. After a very long day, we were finally able to sit back and have a glass of wine. Each day after that, we stirred the must to make sure we were keeping the juice in contact with the skins. And a few days later, while doing that work, I bumped into Tom Leaf again and asked him what our goals were, really, at that point in the cold soak. Okay, so we are here. It's day three of our cold soak. Once a day, we've been kind of mixing things up to try to extract color and flavor from the skins. And so I wanted to check back in with you and take a look at the grapes and have you tell me kind of what you're seeing at this point.
At this point, we're not actively punching down on our aggressive four-time-a-day schedule. Mm-hmm. But at least once a day, we're trying to mix the top into the juice, make sure that we keep all of the grapes moist, and just make sure that there's juice interacting with all of the grapes. Again, we're trying to get as much as we can out of the skins at this point. So the main concern right now is just to keep the cap moist.
And so we're not digging all the way down to the bottom here to try to get the bottom all the way.
Right,
no?
Right. And especially since we did a whole berry processing here, it's really quite firm and quite solid. There's plenty of liquid, but it's going to be a couple of days into the fermentation before it liquefies enough to really get a punch down that will go very far into the must.
The Rat Pack crew helped with this daily regimen of stirring things up, and we watched the color change from slightly pink on the night of crush to deep ruby over those first few days. Pinot Noir is a grape that, while it will give you good color in this cold soak phase, that color often will lighten and kind of drop out significantly by the time you bottle the wine. So you want to get as much color as possible without beating up the grapes and squishing those seeds, which will give you more harsh green tannin. And you can see this color change in the Pinot 2.0 video podcast number 7 that you can get on cellarrat.org. This color will shift towards purple as fermentation gets started and this beautifully sweet juice starts its transformation into wine, which is where we'll head in the next Ratcast. We'll check in with the lab to figure out what science needs to tell us about our juice as we get ready for fermentation to begin. I'm Alan Baker, the Cellar Rat, and I will be back with you soon.
Alt.